Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I've got in the studio with me, co-chair of our National Security Committee, Ann. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
To have you with us. We've got a big meeting coming up on Tuesday night, September the 20th at 7 p.m. It's our regular monthly meeting at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern, and immigration is the big topic that night. And we've got a couple of great speakers coming in. You want to tell us who we've got coming?
Sure. We've got Ron Woodard from NC Listen, which is based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And we also have Jim Robb, who is the vice president of Numbers USA, and they're based out of Washington, D.C.
Well, now, Numbers USA I'm real familiar with because they keep all the stats on immigration and things like that. But we also have on the phone with us Ron Woodard from NC Listen. Ron, how are you?
Great. How are you doing today, Rick?
Doing good. Tell us a little bit about NC Listen and what their function is.
Well, NC Listen is North Carolina Listen. And we started this organization back in 2002. The reason we called it NC Listen was because we didn't think anyone was listening to the issue of immigration, so we decided we would use that term. And it was started primarily by myself and three others, but we were, many of us were already members of FAIR or Numbers USA and had been concerned with the issue of immigration and felt that although FAIR and Numbers USA were doing a great job at the national level, there really wasn't anyone talking much about how things were affecting our state and what our state might be able to do. And after what happened on 9/11, we just all decided, you know, we needed to sort of take it to the next step. And certainly we feel like although we are not officially connected to Numbers USA, we try to support much of what they do from the state level. And again, we're available for giving information about North Carolina as it relates to immigration. And also, we noticed that many media stories would appear, and it would be one-sided because no one would be taking the side of enforcement and that kind of a thing. So that's another reason we wanted to have a state organization.
I see. As you mentioned, many of your former members are still probably current members of the other groups, and Numbers USA being one of the big ones.
Yes, we certainly applaud what they do. I've known Rory Beck for 20 years, and so I certainly applaud what he is trying to do, which is point out that although we all support the concept of immigration, I don't think too many people are opposed to the concept of immigration, but it needs to be managed in such a way that it is done in a way that it is in our national interest, not for special interest or for people who are non-citizens. It's supposed to be done in a way that's to our benefit.
Absolutely.
And so we believe currently, and quite frankly, for a long time, immigration has not been managed in a way that is in our national interest.
Right.
It seems to be more for special interest, and then we'd wind up coddling people who come here illegally.
Well, historically, we have a perfect model for immigration, and that's the way we used to do it. Because, face it, this country was built on immigration. But the immigrants came into Ellis Island. They were screened. They were screened health checks for diseases. You know, were they able to work and support themselves? We weren't bringing them in here to add to our welfare rolls. And I don't know when we lost that system, when we quit going by that system, but you're right. It doesn't work the way it used to.
Well, yeah, actually, when you think of Ellis Island, you think of the large amount of immigration we had at the turn of the century. And it stopped about 1912. That's when our government realized that we had people starving in the streets. And of course, we didn't have welfare programs back then. So if too many people came and they couldn't find a job, you know, what are they going to do? And so we actually cut back on immigration because we had done too much of it. And our country could not absorb that many workers at one time. And then Americans who were citizens and the immigrants also have a fair chance of getting a job. Things started to fall apart, really, in 1965, and we can throw a lot of this at the feet of Senator Ted Kennedy mm-hmm. and some of his cohorts, who were more interested in politicizing immigration as opposed to being concerned about it being good for the immigrants and for America.
Right. That's a really good point, Ron. That's a very good point. I wondered when it started to turn.
Actually, if you look at and of course, I'm not going to start into a history lesson, although I could do that and tie you up. But, you know, obviously we started with America. We were settlers, right, before we were a nation. And then, and quite frankly, although immigration is in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, we really didn't start paying much attention at all until after the Civil War. And really, even to tell you the truth, we didn't really get all that serious with immigration until damn near 1900. But after we sort of shut down the what most people think of as the big, you know, arrivals at Ellis Island at the turn of the century, we went up until 1965 with very moderate immigration. Matter of fact, we would have maybe only a couple hundred thousand people a year show up. And quite frankly, many people called it the golden years of immigration because we brought in a number of people that could be absorbed into our country. And it worked out for them, and it worked out for the United States. But yet, we didn't overwhelm our hospitals and overwhelm our schools. And again, it was a number such that they thrived as America thrived. But we've gone into this mass, uncontrolled immigration phase, again, which started around 1965, and it's only gotten worse. And it doesn't do any good for legal immigrants to come in if they can't find jobs. And so, you know, Senator Jeff Sessions made a comment not too long ago, and he's been concerned about this issue for a while. He made the comment, is there anyone in America that does not understand that when we bring in more workers than we have jobs for them, that job prospects and wages will fall? You know, this is sort of economics 101. And so, again, we're not doing legal immigrants any favors if we bring in too many.
Right. I absolutely agree with you on that. And it seems like we're no longer have leadership that is using common sense. They don't care about the impact it's going to have on the country. They don't care about the debt that we're in. They just keep spending and borrowing. And the fact that there's a cost associated with immigration doesn't seem to matter to them. Well, Ron, I'm going to take a short break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll pick up the conversation when we come back. And I'd like for you to explain to us particularly what impact on North Carolina the immigration is having, because I know that Obama's 10,000th Syrian refugee has entered the country now. So maybe you can give us some updates on that. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I have with me Ann with CCTA's National Security Committee. And also on the phone, we've got Ron Woodard of NC Listen, a North Carolina-based nonprofit grassroots organization that's involved in immigration reform and also in educating the public about immigration and its effects on North Carolina specifically. Ron, the impact of North Carolina. You know, I know we've got a lot of migrant workers here and all that. Are you going to be touching on that at Tuesday night's meeting?
Yes, on September 20th. And again, I want to thank Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association for setting up this forum on U.S. immigration. One of the top three issues facing our nation today. And I applaud Ann and her folks for setting this up. I'm going to be speaking specifically about the impact of uncontrolled immigration on North Carolina, and specifically about the way it affects our schools, the unemployment rate, medical care, and the list goes on, because immigration is one of those issues that really affects literally every aspect of our life if it's done improperly. And we'll also talk about the numbers of refugees that have come into North Carolina and our concerns about the ones that will be coming from areas where they cannot be properly vetted. Whether, if you want to get scared to death, people are concerned, as they should be, about the Syrian refugees coming in that we cannot vet. But I want people to get their mind around this for a moment. Most people don't realize that we let 1 million, quite frankly, a little over 1 million legal immigrants. I'm talking about the legal immigrants that come here every year. On average, we spend less than 10 minutes vetting all of those people.
Wow.
Try to get your arms around that and think about how we even know anything about these people. Do you think it's a surprise that based on this lax ID checks and background checks we do even on our regular legal immigrants, is it any wonder that we now have the Russian mafia, you know, gangs from the Central America that have come in, the drug gangs and so forth, because we generally don't know who people are when we allow them to come in to be immigrants. I'm not talking about visitors. I'm talking about immigrants.
Right.
And we just don't. Don't get me wrong, we should be concerned about Syrian refugees specifically because ISIS has said they're going to target that group as a group to infiltrate. But just think for a moment, if you are someone who wants to hurt America, you can just use our legal immigration system for the most part.
Yes, yes.
Well, understood. Ron, let me ask you something. Do you think, I looked up on the State Department website, that North Carolina has gotten in the past fiscal year for 2015, 460 Syrians. Why do you think North Carolina is getting hit harder with refugees? And if so, why?
Well, the numbers that I've looked at, because at NC Listen, we do get focused at the national level because we certainly realize that the reform that needs to be done has to be done by Congress. I mean, our state, and I'll even speak about this at your forum, there are actions our state can take, some of which we have taken and some of which we haven't taken, and I'll explain why we have and why we haven't. But at the national level, if you look at North Carolina's population compared to the other states, for all refugees that are coming in, I'm talking about all refugees, and that's the numbers that I have been looking at more closely because I have more data on that, although I have it broken down by Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq and some of those countries. We're taking in about the amount of refugees per our population as the rest of the country. I don't see that North Carolina – I mean, we might find some subcategory that would be higher for North Carolina than some other state. But if you look at all the refugees that are coming in, they're coming in pretty much based on our population as compared to the rest of the country. Refugees historically have made up about 7 or 8% of all the legal immigrants, because when you come in as a refugee, you're coming in legally. So historically, refugees have made up about 7 or 8% of the total amount of legal immigrants that come in every year. Obviously, with the situation that's going on in the Middle East right now with President Obama and Hillary Clinton basically setting the Middle East on fire, then you've got a situation where we're all concerned about people who would be coming from an area that, as I said earlier, we all know that ISIS has said they want to infiltrate this group and take advantage of those refugees and infiltrate them. So naturally, we're on guard to be especially concerned about that particular group of refugees. So that's understandable. But the refugee situation, given, as I said, ISIS is targeting it, is paramount for us to be paying attention. And we have Secretary Clinton running for president who says she wants to increase the number of Syrian refugees by over 500%, when our own FBI, and oh, by the way, the U.S. Citizenship and Information Services, I mean, and Immigration Services, rather, what you used to think of as INS, they've even said we can't even properly vet these people. So why would a national leader, given our FBI and USCIS saying they can't properly vet these people, why would someone put our country at risk, and for what reason?
Well, what's the answer to that? What do you think?
Well, I think it's part political, and part of it has to be, she must be part mentally dull. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, that would be maybe the nicest way I could say it. why would you put your country at risk for that? I mean, see, one of the other things we'll talk about on Tuesday, because there's a lot of stuff to cover, and I really encourage certainly folks anywhere near Newbern to attend this event, to not only hear what I have to say, but Jim Robb from Numbers USA, because we both studied this issue for a very long time. We get back to be it refugees or whatever, but just one little comment. Why is it that maybe we should ask Secretary Clinton this? Why is it that of the refugees that will be physically resettled, why isn't it, you know, we've got Algeria, we've got Egypt, we've got Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Turkey, just to name a few, that many of these people could be put on a bus and taken to these other countries mm-hmm. that are already Muslim and take care of them locally? Why is it that we need to put people on an airplane and fly over these countries, basically some of them, to get to the United States to take care of them? I mean, think about that for a moment.
Yeah, I have thought about it.
Well, we are the world's police force and babysitters and general welfare agency, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe that there are some groups that think they are doing some good, and they are doing good for some certain groups, but I think the people at the top, definitely, they see this as Democratic voters for the future to come. And I don't see, if they have their way, we won't see any conservative leaders for a long time.
Well, we can talk about the Supreme Court and that impact, because, and I know that's getting away from immigration, but I've actually talked about it on our website at www.nclisten.com. I've actually did an article among immigration pieces about the federal courts, not to mention the U.S. Supreme Court, and what impact that has not only on immigration, but on, as you say, Ann and Rick, these other important aspects of our political life. And if we have an activist court, I mean, think about this for a moment. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is one of two, if not three, sitting Supreme Court jurists that have said we should consider, you can Google it and for yourself, that has said we should consider international law when interpreting our own U.S. Constitution. Wrap your head around that for a moment.
Yeah, that's scary. That is scary.
Well, yeah. Ron, I mean, this is one of just a few nutty things that have been, you know, admitted. So, this next election is going to have a major impact on our country. It may be one we may not ever recover from.
Right.
Right. Well, Ron, that's about all the time we have for today. I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us, and looking forward to our forum on immigration. And that's going to be Tuesday, September 20th at 7 p.m. downtown Newbern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. It's open and free to the public. And again, we're going to have Jim Robb, Vice President of Operations at Numbers USA, and he's going to be talking to us about how immigration policies impact our national, state, and local economies, our healthcare system, employment, education, our legal system, taxes, and many other areas of concern. And then we've got Ron Woodard, who's on the phone with us today, is also going to be speaking to us about specifically how it's impacting North Carolina. So, Ron, thanks again for your time, and look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, September 20th.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been enjoying a conversation on immigration, and
Want to remind you that on Tuesday, September 20th at 7 p.m., we have our regular public meeting open to the public, downtown Stanley Hall Ballroom. That's Tuesday, September 20th at 7 p.m., and our guest speakers are going to be Jim Robb, Vice President of Operations at Numbers USA, and Ron Woodard, Director of North Carolina Listen. That's once again, a forum on U.S. immigration hosted by Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and you are invited. Hope you will come out and be with us. Vice President of Operations, Number USA, Jim Robb, will be speaking. He's going to cover terrorism being introduced through Islamization, corruption of the refugee system, administration failure to pursue almost all deportations, and deterioration of jobs for America. Numbers USA is a national organization. It's headquartered in Washington, D.C., and it presses for lower immigration levels along with humanitarian treatment of illegal immigrants. Rob has been with the organization since its founding in 1996, and Rob pioneered the free faxing to Congress, and he led the membership of Numbers USA as the group exceeded 1.5 million email members and more than 5 million Facebook followers. Numbers USA is now the largest political advocacy group on Facebook, having recently surpassed the National Rifle Association in number of fans. So we're going to enjoy having Rob come and talk with us. Also, Ron Woodard, Director of North Carolina Listen, will also be addressing the group. And Ron's focus is going to be more on the consequences of illegal immigration and mass immigration on our society, especially as it relates to the unemployment rate and the wages for citizens in our state. I believe he's also going to touch on crime statistics and other issues that are affected by immigration. So, again, North Carolina Listen is a North Carolina-based nonprofit grassroots organization that's involved in immigration reform and educating the public. So come on out. Join us September 20th at 7 p.m. Stanley Hall Ballroom for two great speakers on the topic of immigration. And remember, CCTA is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We're a 501c3. We operate strictly on donations from our listeners and from our members and from the general public. So if you'd like to support us in our efforts, please come out to one of the meetings. We'd be glad to accept your contribution there. Membership in CCTA is just $12 a year if you'd like to become a member. We really need people to get engaged and get involved. This election cycle is very important. This could be the turning point that we may never recover from. So it's very important that we have as many people out doing the work that we're doing to try to get the public educated and aware of what's going on behind the scenes. We do all we can to affect legislation by working with our legislators. And our watchdog groups are very active in that respect. Our National Security Committee, which you've heard from Ann this morning, is very engaged, and we could use some help there also. It's been a pleasure being with you today. Hope you enjoyed the program, and look forward to being with you again next week.